Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acotta back on the Fan. Tom Andy with the crown topic of the day. Start of the show way back at 10 a.m. talking about Mara and his comments here off of, you know, the owners' meetings, BT. And for me, reading those comments, while it wasn't the worst thing, I feel like he's an owner who's meddling a little bit too much, even with his presence, because of the history, because of his voice on how much he loves certain players, mainly Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones. I feel like he talked about, you know, other stuff too, as far as Dable and getting involved and being in on some team meetings. And he says the right things, but I feel like his presence is so strong that it could have and has had a negative impact on the Giants.
By the way, if you guys missed anything the first 2 hours, free Odyssey app, go hit rewind. I understand what Sal's saying. I do, and I don't vehemently disagree, because Mara's had a very uneven ownership reign for a while. And so I don't disagree in totality, but I do disagree here. I think it's an oversimplification, and a lot of people have said this. I don't subscribe to this. Like, you weren't getting anything for Saquon Barkley. I'm sorry. You know, it was still early in the season, and I know the Giants just looked awful. So the trade deadline, in case you forgot, was Halloween. The Jets and the Giants game was October 29th. That slogfest where both teams looked hideous. Nobody thought either team was going anywhere at that point. So I guess on some level you can justify trading Saquon, but They still were. I think they were 2-6 after that loss, and they had a couple of games that were winnable. So I understood. I think there was a real overstatement of what they could get back for Saquon. I also think, and I'm going to defend Mara on this as well, I do think that there was an unexpected recalibration in a very robust manner, the running back free agent market. Like, guys got more than he thought that they were going to get. I mean, guys got more than I thought they were going to get.
But then maybe you could make the argument, and I would, that maybe they would have gotten more than you would have thought they would have gotten at the trade deadline last year.
Yeah, I guess. But I think the contract is different from the draft equity, because, you know, the cap is obviously crippling, and you could always, you know, manipulate or mess around with some, you know, mid-level draft picks, whatever. Maybe. But I just think that Mara has done a lot of things wrong for a while, but this is not one of them. He's at the owners' meeting. He was asked a couple of things, general state of the team, and I've always been, I know you have as well, which I'm a little surprised that you say this today, Sal, always been about, you know, don't tell me, show me.
Right.
And right now, Philly's got Saquon, and even though it hurts still a little bit for big-time Giant fans, that's the right football move. So Mara didn't get in the way, and I do not believe he will get in the way when it's time to draft the quarterback at number 6. I got no problem right now with Mara.
Well, that was the other part of it. Oh, well, yeah, they have my full blessing if they love a player. Well, I'd hope so. It should go without saying. And the idea that people still go to him as, like, the foremost authority, yes, I understand he's the owner. He shouldn't be, as far as the personnel goes. And I feel like his impact has been felt with personnel decisions, specifically Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. He may not say directly, draft this guy, keep this guy, but he leans on him a little bit and lets everybody know how he feels. He should be out of it. I don't need to know how John Mara feels about Saquon Barkley or about Daniel Jones. I care what Joe Shane and Brian Dable think about those guys. And clearly the actions do speak louder than words. And in Barkley's case, Joe Shane said, I don't care how much the owner likes him, this is not the right move.
Mm-hmm. And the owner listened.
Right. Well, I'd hope so. That's my point.
Yeah, but not every owner would, which is my point.
Yeah.
Think about this, Sal. When you have instability, that's generally when things get I mean, literally,
he said he
banned on the field.
He said he, I'm sorry, BT, to cut you off, but just an important point here. He said, Mara did, that he let them know he wouldn't like it if he went to a team in the other division or they lost. Like, he's letting them know, like, hey, just so you know, I'm not going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, you're putting undue pressure on Shane and Dable that they don't need.
I hear you, but I don't think that we can be overly selective and choosy just because Mara's, you know, had a spotty record for a while. You could take, listen, I know Cashman's got a million issues, but like, say 2 years ago, Hal was like, dude, we can't afford Judge. Yeah, he's injury prone. We got to move up. Just don't trade him to Toronto or the Orioles or the Rays or the Red. Like, I think that there's certain things as the owner that you're entitled to drop. You write the rules.
But what I don't care from an owner is his opinion on the football or baseball, whatever, on the players. It's John Mara is not the expert on what Daniel Jones is as a player.
I agree, but he's more of a football man than Woody Johnson.
He's the owner.
He's more like Stevie Cohen's. He's a baseball fan. I don't look at Steve Cohen as a baseball owner.
He's
now,
not,
he might be a great owner, but he's not a
baseball guy.
Did he even play?
He should be smart enough to realize you got to let the baseball people do what they do. Now, you could have your influence and say, I really like this player based on certain things. Here's the money to go get him. That's what I want to see from ownership, giving the resources needed for your baseball, or in this case, football personnel, to do what they need to do to build the team. I don't want the owner having his influence on how you should build the team, whether it's, hey, we really screwed this kid up with Daniel Jones. Like, too many times his opinion on the players has had impact on the organization, and it shouldn't. Whether you date back to Eli Manning and Ben McAdoo fits, where he has screwed up not only in that regard but also in hiring the bad general manager, the bad head coach. That's where ultimately the owner should be judged. He's got to decide which general manager, which head coach to hire, and then get the hell out of the way. And I feel like he's got the right intentions. I think he's a very nice man, obviously.
Yeah, he is. No
he's
question.
A passionate man, cares about his organization, cares about the fans deeply.
Classy.
To me, it's too meddling.
See, this is crazy. We'll get back to these calls here in a sec. But I think that if we were having this discussion certainly a year ago or even a month or so ago or 2 weeks ago with the Barkley stuff, I'd be right with you. But because, and again,
let him walk.
Well, I think it's the right move for the Giants. I think most Giant fans once you get past the emotional shock and the duress of losing somebody that you love and you thought would be here for longer and probably eclipse Tiki with all the all the record books. But yeah, and he hasn't. I think that there's a you got to sort through your emotions for a little while. And I'm going to give fans a chance to do that, and I think that we're at the point now where they've done that, and most, the overwhelming majority of Giant fans understand this was the right move. So I get it. Mara's fingerprints are on a lot, but it didn't get in the way of doing the right thing with Saquon. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And I do not think, I'm very confident, it will not get in the way of drafting a quarterback if Shane and Dable think somebody there at six or move up or move back, whatever it is, whatever they present to ownership, he's going to let them do, I believe. And if not, then, he's getting in the way and I'll have a different opinion.
The other topic of the day, and we started this at 11 o'clock, and like BT said before, anything you missed, check out on the free Odyssey app. Go listen to the Rewind, download the podcast, and get everything right there. We discussed the Jets and Woody Johnson speaking, and he said that if the Jets can't find a trade for Zach Wilson, that they're going to keep him. And I actually understand that. I understand both sides of this. I know why you, BT, and other Jet fans are out of their minds saying no way he could be on the team. But if you think about it, you got an asset at a high cost. He's at its lowest value right now. You don't just dump that asset because everybody's screaming about it that you should. If you can't find a trade and you think it's best for the team just to keep him on, and maybe a lot of good could come of that, being the third stringer, which is essentially irrelevancy, hold the clipboard, put your baseball hat on, and learn. Watch and learn from not only Aaron Rodgers, but Tyrod Taylor as well. I'm okay with that. I don't think there's a need to cut Zach Wilson, just move on from him to appease the media or fans.
I don't care about appeasing anybody. I think you know that about me. Like, and when I'm wrong, I'll wear it. And a lot of the times I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, it's really because I just kind of think very differently about a situation. And Zach's one of them where I didn't give up on him. Most people were telling me, dude, what do you see in this kid? He's this, he's that. And I kept hanging on the old, the regurgitated line, which I believed at that point. Get him an O-line. Get him creative coaching. Get him some weapons. Blah, blah, blah. All right? But the reason why you don't listen to the public is because you'll eventually become one of them if you let them dictate what you do. But the reason why you cannot bring him back is because not what I say at this point or what you say or anybody says. It's because they don't respect him. That locker room does not. I think that they like him. I think that they think he's a good kid, good young man. They don't respect him because he wanted to tap out and quit playing, and he did stop playing. Then he was back, and he was trash again. Like, yeah, we can write a book on how the Jets failed Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson did not command enough respect in that locker room to bring him back. And when you're the third, when you are the third quarterback on the depth chart, you got to be as quiet as a church mouse. I don't want to even know that you're there. Go to the University of Delaware. Go to some, you know, like Flacco. Go to some obscure football. Delaware's a great school, but like an obscure football, not a factory. Go somewhere. I never heard of you. Learn your craft in anonymity, not when you were the former second overall pick who we've discussed for three straight years now. He can't be here. He can't.
BT and Sal on
and he won't be.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Kenny is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Kenny?
What's going on, guys? BT, 100% right. Finally got to part ways with Zach. Enough is enough. All these fans saying, oh, if he was on another team. I don't care if he was on the best team in football and had the best coaching. You just can't get it out of him. He's damaged goods. He doesn't have the talent. Just because he made a throw on his pro day in shorts for 60 yards across the field means nothing in the NFL.
No, what about the ones and he made against Kansas City on Sunday night last week, last year?
Listen, a clock, a broken clock is right twice a day, and that's what he is. He's broke. He can't be fixed. Get rid of him. Just cut him. Take the $5 million, $11 million cap hit, and cut him. Nobody wants him. That's why he has not been traded yet. There's 30-something teams out there that are NFL-caliber teams that are looking
at
this.
But what's the difference, Kenny? What's the difference of just not having him on the roster or having him as a third-string quarterback? Like, he's irrelevant.
He's not, though.
A black cloud on the team. You know, what's the difference if he's holding a clipboard or cut?
Like, who do you think would impact the Jets in a more negative way next year? Zach Wilson as a third stringer or Robert Saleh as the head coach?
I think it's Zach Wilson. You got to give Saleh another shot here because what he's done with the defense. Zach Wilson has done nothing.
Now, but Kenny, hold on a sec. Ken, one sec, bud. You and I agree, but I'm very curious. You've taken a little bit of a detour off the avenue here. So you want to get rid of Zach, which I totally agree you have to, but you want to give Saleh more opportunity. What's the difference, really, between Saleh and Zach? Okay.
Well, here's what I'm giving Saleh next season. Here's what I'm giving him. You come out of the gate, 1-3, you're gone. That's it. You're gone.
I know you're not going to fire him mid-season.
Oh, they might. No, if it's
1-3,
no, not 1-3.
And have Nathaniel Hackett take over?
No, probably Albrecht.
Yeah, you have to. You can't.
If that's the case, Kenny.
Linger.
No. If that's the case, thank you for the call.
Do it now.
Yes.
Well, it's too late. They're not. I hear you. They should have, but they're not.
We agree.
Yeah.
Like I'm
we've
not
said
saying,
this for months, Sal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is nothing new. But if you're of the mindset that if they go 1-3 out of the gate, what? You can't fire a head coach 4 weeks in. That means you shouldn't have kept him, which they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But now what? Like, you're going to go get Vrabel? Think about the difference.
No, Vrabel's with another team.
I know that. Well, he's not head coach.
I know.
So maybe
I'm sure he's gotten out. That's true.
Well, right, but still, you're going to do that midseason. Anyway, point, are you going to get Belichick out of the booth or whatever he is?
Belichick in the booth would be horrendous. Yeah. Who wants to hear him in the booth?
Point is, you had a chance, a great opportunity to make a clean cut in the offseason and go get a known commodity. There are a lot of good head coaches that were available.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to ride it back with Saleh. You think they're going to do that for 4 weeks?
No, but I do think that, and Woody doesn't like these kind of headlines and publicity, but 1-3 or after 4 weeks, even after 5 weeks, that's early. That's not going to happen. But if they're 3-6 or if they're 3-7, I'm just throwing stuff out. Even maybe 2-5 or 2-6. And the AFC is still in a state where if you get hot and you look at the schedule and you win a few games, maybe you sneak off with a wild card, they'll fire him midseason. They are not.
I'd be stunned.
They are not committed to. I mean, it's not like Woody told me this, but this is what I really believe this. There is no way that they're going to roll through 17 weeks of underachievement and craziness if they're losing and not make a move to try to salvage it. And if not, I give up hope. They are losers at that point.
Pat is calling from Floral Park. What's up, Pat?
Patty.
Yo, Sal and BT, what's going on?
What's up, Pat?
Hello, bud.
Yo, I know you guys are talking football, but, man, I'm really fired up for the Mets, man. King Cohen.
Pat, thank you for the call. We're not talking. You're right. We're talking football. Let's stick to the topic at hand. Gary,
I him after did you King Cohen?
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that yet. We'll
get
to the King Cohen stuff.
With you. I thought he may have. I thought the King Cohen may have bought him 30 extra seconds from Sal.
I appreciate the reference, but you got to stay on topic. There's nothing more important than show structure for me.
Yep.
Gary is calling from Smithtown. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Sal. How you guys doing?
How are you, Gary?
Hey, buddy.
I'm fine. Good. You know, real quick, I understand, Sal. I want my general manager, I want my coach to be basically making the decisions. However, Mara has to take that question and answer it, because if he turns around and says, hey, you know what, we're leaving that up to the football people, that's fine, and I hope that's what he means. But I'm in the media. I take that on Mara is not supporting Jones.
You're in the
media?
That's
not a good thing.
Is that what you said?
I'm assuming.
Oh, well, if you're in the media. I thought maybe this was. I thought this was a plan.
Trust me, I'm not making the money those guys are making.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking? It was BT.
Who?
Well, Gary.
Gary Myers.
Well, I mean, maybe some way to get in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it were, it wouldn't be so pretty on the other end. You know what I'm saying, Gary?
I hear you. But think about it, Sal.
Yeah, good.
But wait. Look,
I'm feisty.
I'll put my shoes in Mara. I'll say I'm Mara. Now, you know what? You don't answer that question or you duck it. Jones is out. You tell me.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Thanks for the call, Gary.
Thanks,
we appreciate you checking in. I just don't. Like, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's the owner and people are going to ask him stuff. He's allowed to have his opinion. I don't care what his opinion is on the players, it shouldn't matter. If John Mara thinks Saquon Barkley is the best back of all time, it doesn't matter. If he likes Daniel Jones and thinks he's a quarterback, it doesn't matter. That's not his job. His job is to hire the people that make those decisions. He hires them, then get out of the way. I'm not saying
he
you
did.
Can't.
He let them do what they had to do. Saquon's
I'm
gone.
Not buying it. I'm not buying it 100%. And he's still like leaning on him a little bit. You know, I'll let him know I'm not. Like, come on. Wait. I feel like I tried to put myself in Shane or Dable's shoes.
Okay.
And I feel like having an owner who's been, as we said, a great man, an established owner, all those things.
Yeah.
There's this presence that he has.
And don't take the job.
Well,
it's the Giants.
Yeah,
it's one of the
front
runners in terms of profile in the NFL. You knew what you were getting into.
So were the Steelers.
Stay up in Buffalo.
So were the Steelers, and the Giants modeled themselves after the Steelers.
Yeah.
But they're not run the same way.
A little different. I do give you that. Rooney is
Steelers have had two coaches in my lifetime. Well, and the Giants have had two in the last 3 years.
No, they've had three.
Who?
Born in 79.
Well, yeah, I was born in 79.
I'm saying so.
I remember, in your lifetime, to be literal. When did he go?
If I had to go, geez, Chuck Noll left in 80. I don't know
me
the
neither.
Exact
okay,
year.
You know what
but
I meant.
But I'm just saying.
Yes,
it's three.
I understood. Technically, yes. But in my lifetime, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, that's it.
Yep.
Giants, obviously, you know the turnaround. So they're not. They could say they model themselves after the Steelers. They're not. And the Steelers don't come out and say things the way that, oh, I really love Kenny Pickett. You know, I told Tomlin I really liked Pickett and it was tough for me to let him go. No.
Yeah.
It's boom, there's an issue. His ass is gone. You don't want to be the backup? You're upset because Russell Wilson is here? You don't want to compete? See ya. Bye-bye. And with the Giants, it's not like that. So I just...
To be fair, you're not wrong. I mean,
it's a different circumstance, I know. But
yeah, well, different circumstances. I don't think that you have the ability here versus Pittsburgh to have the patience that the Rooneys have. I mean, think about all the games, the home playoff games that Cowher lost. Imagine if that was a Jets or a Giants coach. You roll through the regular season, you lose a conference championship game at home, and we're going to be screaming like rabid dogs. Get rid of this guy. Can't win the big one.
Right, but you give
because
him credit
for
being...
Because it's New York. It's different in Pittsburgh. You can kind of tune some stuff out.
I get it.
You know?
Well, I understand. I was trying to look up Chuck Noll coaching record, but I don't have that yet. All right, we got Yankee tickets to give away when we come back. Your calls as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
All right, Sal, say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament, whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed. Now is the time to try to get some extra loot. 200 back in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. No better feeling than picking up that big dog to win and absolutely slaying it. That is a good feeling. Or maybe you'll take your favorite team to win each round and keep on advancing like some people around here. We do a little emotional hedging as well and pick against your favorite team, Evan, not me. If your first $5 bet wins, you get $200 back to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. And cut down those nets. All you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/BT. Bet on college hoops until they cut down the aforementioned nets. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of WFAN, 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. But for help with a gambling problem, please call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Do you know that Chuck Knoll was there until 91?
I thought it was late 80s. 91?
Wow. I mean, if I'm looking
and
at this right.
What was his first year, 73?
69.
Oh, that early, wow.
69 through 91.
Wow.
I remember the name, obviously. Sure, I just remember the Steelers always with Bill Cowher.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jersey Mike's.
Oh, yeah.
Sending in those subs today.
Already devoured a couple.
Did
little
you?
Ham, oil, vinegar, a little...
Oh, you snuck it. You snuck it in. Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have one of each?
I actually had two. I didn't eat all the bread.
Right.
To justify just... I devoured. They're good.
You had two of each?
Yeah.
You had two number twos?
I had four halves.
Whoa!
Yeah, and I did it during a break. That's how quick. It's like a gavone. Boom.
I was like, wow, interesting. BT is not eating today. Meanwhile, I go in and look in the box, and I see there's like two left. Uh-huh. I'm like, I better grab one.
I was hungry.
Now I don't feel guilty. I had one. But anyway, Jersey Mike's, thank you. It is delicious. All right, BT and Sal back on the field. We'll get into the Ohtani stuff a little bit later on. One quick note before we get back to the calls here. 877-337-6666. So this might not have... this is probably out there before the Eagles are going to open in Brazil. It's off of us talking about how Major League Baseball... opens in, you know, Seoul. Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have trips. And I get that the NFL does this all the time, but games being played in Mexico. Yankees just had this the other day.
Yep. Sort of
spring training game. You know, football going all over. The Giants, I guess, are looking like they're going to be in Germany. I saw you tweet out that the Jets are going to be potentially in London. Mm-hmm. You got the Eagles starting their season in Brazil. Like, are the games going to be played in America anymore?
They don't care about us. They just get used to it.
Long before you stop? Like, you could stop caring about somebody
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Yep.
Eventually, that's going to come back to bite you. Eventually, you wake up and say, you know what? I've had it with this relationship. Either you start showing me that you care or I'm out.
That's true. Listen, the answer is probably never. I mean, I'm a sports guy. So are you. So I'll voice my frustrations and I'll go back like a chump and I'll watch. Now, maybe I will buy less. I mean, I don't really have any stuff for me anyway, but like mm-hmm. maybe kids less merchandise, maybe go to fewer games out of pocket. But in terms of sitting down and watching football, I mean, I don't think that's ever going to stop. And I've learned a long time ago, you know, wasted energy is really, it's just such a useless, it's useless. Like, I can do an hour and I can really get worked up, and I have where... I really resent these leagues for doing this to us. And
right.
I stand up for the little fan out there because we're fans. You and I are fans. We just happen to have microphones. So we're an extension of you
right.
who listen to us, all right? And we'll always stand up for you. But they're not going to listen. So why am I going to waste my energy on complaining about whether it's Mexico or Seoul or Germany or Brazil
or Christmas
or London,
Day,
Christmas
or Wednesday, Day, Thursday, Tuesday.
Three games on Thanksgiving, the Wednesday game, the Black Friday. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, but at some point, fans will start to... I think that fans already do feel the way that we feel. It's just not the majority yet.
Well, they feel it, but they haven't acted upon it yet. And if they do, then the NFL and these other sports leagues will have to pivot. If they feel... Listen, you want people to change? And I'm not even espousing this because you do what you want. But, you know, until there's resentment, yes. But until the resentment morphs into resistance, it's meaningless.
But eventually it becomes that. The resentment becomes, what was the other word?
Resistance.
Resistance, yes. I love the way you said that. The resentment becomes
pretty
profound,
good,
yes. The resentment becomes resistance. Eventually.
Yeah.
It will. Now, it may not be till another 15, 20 years, I don't know.
It might be with the streaming devices for the older generation. I mean, there's a start there.
Well, that's another thing on top of it. Not only are these games, let's say you're an old-time Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
You have season tickets. Your home opener is
home
one of the
opener.
Home opener is going to be in Brazil.
It's a sacred
not
day.
Only
it's week
that,
one. It's at home, and it's not even in our country.
Not only that, it's on
Peacock.
Think about
that.
I know. Now, I'm assuming in local markets you could, I would assume.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I don't know that. Playoff
that's
games,
true.
Playoff games you can't. Playoff games.
Yeah, they screwed us this year.
All right, so point is, like, then you're going to now have resistance.
Uh-huh.
At some point.
Well, that's why I said. Everybody resents it a bit, but until you see some real outward signs of resistance, cutting cords with cable. I'm not telling you to do this because I love the game as much as you do.
Right.
But there are people who are going to say, you know, I'm done. Enough is enough. You can only bend me over for so long.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I think a lot of us want to say that, but as sports fans, we can't say that. Although there are certain things that I just am not willing to do. I'll tell you, especially if it's not job-related, like if the Jets or Giants play on Christmas Day,
mm-hmm.
there's really not much we can do about it. Although, assuming you're going to be off Christmas week anyway, it's like, okay, I'll just DVR the game and go back and watch it.
See, that I can't DVR. I got to watch that live.
Yeah.
And Giants, I got to watch
Day,
live.
I'm sorry, there's certain things that are not compromised.
I hear you.
I'm not
but
doing
it's not
it.
On at 8 in the morning when Santa just left. So,
if it's
like,
at night, it's a different story. They have these games in the middle of the day.
I hear you.
If the Black Friday game didn't involve the Jets last year, it wouldn't even make my radar.
Oh, no, if us had somebody playing in fantasy. No, me too.
Right.
Me too.
So the same thing with a lot of these Thursday night games. It's too much. Initially, like 18-year-old, 23-year-old single Sal, give me all the games you can want because I got nothing else going on. I'm working at Home Depot, going to school, whatever it may be.
Yep.
Now, as like an adult, and that's where the key demo should be, young adults who are just getting out of college, trying to have a family, having a job, like you got other responsibilities. You can't be watching football every day of the week. It's just not realistic.
I agree.
Thursday nights, Monday nights, Friday night games.
Not to mention
Saturday,
the college
Sunday.
Stuff. I think there's even college on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, like some, I don't know, like a Tulane or like Temple or, you're not getting Notre Dame on a Tuesday, but I think I'm flipping through channels either to get to the Knicks or something else, and I see college football on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
And by the way, it's not just sports, and that's what we love and that's what we talk about, but also the other stuff too. Like, I can't keep up anymore, whether it's Netflix, Apple TV. Oh, we've had this conversation, HBO, Showtime, like, it's too much.
And now you got Deion saying, don't draft my certain team. I mean, now players. And listen, Eli did this as well.
What did he say? I missed it.
He basically said, cold weather cities, don't draft my two top players, one of whom is his son, as you know. Yeah. Now, let's be fair. We can't get on Deion.
Sports.
I hear you. We can't get on Deion for saying that and then give the Mannings a pass. Like, there was a flex with the Mannings, so let's be consistent.
I hated them for that, too. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I don't either, fundamentally. I didn't hate them for it. I understood it, but fundamentally, I always had an issue with it because It just goes against fundamentally what I've always subscribed to. Somebody drafts you, you go.
But we agree. But with Eli, was it that they just didn't like the people?
They didn't like the way San Diego was run.
But they're right.
I know they were right. They were right.
If Deion was saying that about a specific team,
he's not. He said about weather.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that wasn't the case, and it wasn't even like he said, "Let me go to New York." It was we don't like the way the Chargers run, which he was right.
Yeah, all these years later, they're still a mess.
It's still a mess.
Harbaugh, but yep, cheap historically with offset money. If you follow that stuff, you
not
know the Chargers
set him
are
up
bad
to
with that.
Yeah. Now again, I still am of the belief they draft you, you go. You got a job to do, whatever. But they turned out to be right. It is different with Sanders saying that and or other people, you know, dictating where they go. I can't stand that anymore.
It's tough.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. John is calling from Somerville, New Jersey. What's up, John?
How you doing, guys?
How are you, Johnny?
What's up, buddy?
Good. I want to talk about Zach Wilson for a second. I may get a little bit of hate from this, but look, Zach Wilson had a shot in New York. I'm completely off the Zach Wilson bandwagon for the Jets, but I think he deserves a shot somewhere else, somewhere like, you know, not so big, like Tennessee needs a quarterback. I'd use the comparison him to Geno Smith. I think the only difference between the two of them, Geno was the second round and Zach Wilson was the first round.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their stats, 4 years with the Jets each, Geno has three less losses than Zach Wilson, but more touchdowns, less interceptions, more passing yards than Geno Smith. But Geno got a chance somewhere else as a backup for a little bit.
Yep.
Then got the starting job in
Seattle. Well, Geno's matured into an adult. Zach is still right. A baby.
Understood. 100% agree. But I'm just saying, you know, Jets fans, football fans, they want to put Zach Wilson down so fast. I think he deserves another chance again somewhere else, not in New York.
I agree. By the way, John, I agree with you. I don't know anybody that's sitting here saying banish him to Canada, you know, but he doesn't deserve another chance here. There's just too many things in the past. We can't move forward if you're around.
Right. So. But the problem is you shouldn't be giving away an asset that was once sky high in value at its lowest point. It's just bad business. And while both you and I agree that it's not ever likely going to work here, or you may even say it's not going to work here definitively, I say it's not likely going to work here, there is still some appeal and potential for it elsewhere. Is it ever going to pan out the way that you thought? Probably not, regardless of where it is, but there is still some potential for that. And that's where I would say, if I'm the Jets, I'm just not giving him up, and make somebody give me at least something in return.
And they won't get anything now. Maybe somebody goes down at OTA. You entice somebody for a 2020, a future draft, you know, seventh round, sixth conditional, whatever. But basically, bargain bin shopping. I got to tell you, though, the stronger emotion shouldn't be from the Jet fans who want Zach to move on. Zach should want to get out.
Agreed.
There's no way he wants back in.
No.
No chance.
He wouldn't be the same lightning rod anywhere else that he goes.
Correct.
That he is here.
He could walk in the side door.
It'd be best for both teams.
Yep.
But it still doesn't mean you should give him away. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, time for Bold Face Live. Bold Face Truth. Hoff is on vacation this week, so we got Pat Boyle filling in for him. Patty, what do you got for us? Bold Face Live, Bold Face Truth.
All right, so in regards to the Knicks, we know that still no OG Anunoby, still no Julius Randle, still no Mitchell Robinson. Mitch seems the closest to come back. Apparently that's what Tibbs is saying. He's been practicing full contact, all that stuff, but he hasn't played yet. He's been out for over 50 games now. OG came back. Now they've shut him down again with the elbow. No clear timeline on him. And Randall's been out since January 27 with the dislocated
shoulder. This is not an update,
Pat. I mean, what are we doing here?
This is not a 2020 update. Get to the damn question.
You want any kind of context? Fine. Yeah. Or you don't. I guess some context is fine. I'll read one sentence and that'll be that. Here you go. Bald face lie, bald face truth. The Knicks will be fully healthy and be whole by start of the postseason.
Who's up first? You want me to take it?
You take it.
I'm going to say bald face lie. I'm worried about this. I honestly.
Oh, you've come around, and I love the word you said. Quote, I'm worried about this.
I am. I'm worried about this. I said this yesterday. I didn't get into it too much with Moose, who was filling for Sal, but I did bring it up, and I thought he was very noncommittal last night. I saw this before the Pistons game. Tom Thibodeau talking about the 300. I'm not worried about OG. Mitch will definitely be back. I am worried about Randall, so that is a bald-faced lie.
Yeah, it's a bald-faced lie. You know how I felt? I've been worried about this since day one. I'm even more worried now than I was then.
Well, because we're running out of time.
Well, and OG came back and left again and got hurt, so we've already seen one guy fail, and we still haven't seen the other guy. I mean, now there is still a chance. We are running out of time, but there is still a chance that they can be held. Or can be whole before the playoffs start.
There's only 11 games left here, Sal. 11 games to go, and he's going to need 3-4 games, I would imagine, to shake off the rust. So it's not over, but it's getting a little dark for Randall here.
I will say this. I think they're going to try it before the postseason starts, but there's no guarantee that there's not another relapse. Like, let's say Randall, okay, hey, we're going to force the issue and with two games to go in the regular season, see how we look whole with Anunoby, Randall, and Mitch back. But then you just don't know.
I just want people to understand he hasn't even, he's not even cleared for contact
yet.
Yeah,
I know.
That is a massive thing.
All right, what do you got, Batty? Number two.
All right, Sweet 16 starting back up on Thursday, March Madness. UConn, which is, I guess, even remotely close to our only local team left. Champions last year. They got a rematch from the national championship on Thursday against San Diego State. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. UConn will repeat as national champs.
That's a bald-faced lie. I know they're out to a rough start. I got to be honest with you, BT. I did not watch 1 second of the tournament this weekend.
Not a second?
Not a second of it. I told you I wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Not a second. I filled out that bracket. Taco Frank made me do it. I barely checked. The first couple of days, like Thursday, Friday, yeah. I was a little into it, and then I just don't care. I'm sorry. But I have paid attention to the dominance by UConn. I still say a bald-faced lie. It is so hard. And you got Hurley, you know, complaining about the tough draw or the matchups. I'm not buying it. I think UConn's a great team, obviously. Somebody's going to knock them off. That's a bald-faced lie.
I disagree. I think UConn's going to go back-to-back. Bald-faced truth. You know, you mentioned Hurley. He's definitely nutty during the games, but he keeps them locked in. Like, there was a good article over the weekend about how he guards against complacency, which is one aspect to being a really good team. But they got all the weapons, man. They got size. They got speed. They got athleticism. They got shooters. They've got depth. They've got championship pedigree. I know it's wacky, and the college game is as unpredictable as it's ever been. I think UConn's going two in a row.
Have you been locked into the tournament this week?
Not the way that I have been. No, I mean, I watched a lot of the games there, of course, but... You know, and I said this the other day, and I'm fully transparent. Like, once the Big East got shafted, starting with St. John's,
how are they doing,
so,
by the way? I know UConn,
they haven't
obviously
lost yet. They're 6-0.
Okay.
How are they doing? They're undefeated.
Curious. Well, we only get three teams.
I don't mean that. I'm not taking a shot at you for not knowing. No. I mean, I'm mad. It brings back my energy toward the committee for doing such a terrible job for only having three teams in. St. John's, Seton Hall, Providence, the other three that had a case to be made. So... That definitely made me enter the tournament with a little bit of a tepid enthusiasm, which is never the case. I always love it. I've rallied. I've gotten into these games, but I feel like there's something missing a little bit this year the way it went down.
And the one thing I did pay attention to, Kentucky, again.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, again. Please, Calipari.
No, I love
Calipari. He's been stealing money, Calipari.
Every year, it's the same thing. Yep. All the experts, oh, no, this year they could win it. First round out again.
I got news for
you.
They
stink.
I know you paid attention to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
They had a tough one last night. That was a tight one. That's her last home game. So they had to hit some free throws at the end. Caitlin Clark, I remember real quick here. God, it had to be 5-6 weeks ago when she was going for the scoring record, which she did not get this particular game. They were playing Nebraska, and my parents were over, and my mom was making meatballs or whatever we were doing, and my dad and I were watching bouncing around watching a little golf. There was really nothing on, and we put on Iowa, having a few Modelos, and I was so into watching her play. Like, outside of the Big East, I have watched more Caitlin Clark this year than I have other non-Big East action.
Interesting.
She's unbelievable, she's that good? Dude. She's unbelievable.
Going to dominate the WNBA?
Yeah. Yeah. Differently, though, because she's also a great passer.
Right.
She's just a wizard.
Yeah. I have not watched. I mean, obviously, I know about her. I have not watched much. I just don't have any interest in the men's or the women's.
By the
NCAA.
Way, I think UConn gets a scare Thursday night.
Yeah.
I think San Diego State could beat them. The spread's 11.5.
Yep.
We're talking about who here, men's?
Going back to the UConn
Huskies.
Okay.
This guy's going to be on the Aztecs, 11.5.
They could cover. They're not going to win.
What's
UConn's
the third one for you, Boyle? Wrap it up here.
All right, last thing. Mark Vientos sent down option to AAA to start the season. Zach Short in his lifetime, 174 batting average, gets a spot for the Mets opening day roster. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Mark Vientos will play in a Mets uniform again.
At the big league level, no. That is a bald-faced lie. And, BT, this makes me even more excited than the J.D. Martinez signing because it shows you that the Mets finally know what they're doing. You know how I feel about Vientos. I told them there's no need to evaluate. I've already done it for you. He stinks. There's no way a young kid should come into the big leagues and be a DH. Mm-hmm. DHs are exactly what they should be with J.D. Martinez, a bad-bodied veteran who can't do anything else other than mash. Whether it works out or not is yet to be seen. However, that's what the DH spot should be for, not somebody who's a young, quote-unquote, prospect that can't do anything else. And the reason why Vientos went from being the DH to being a minor leaguer is because he's not a good baseball player. And if the Mets saw that now, with J.D. Martinez not even on the roster yet, What makes you think anything's going to change? Even injuries aside, you know.
Aside from injuries, that's too easy. But aside from injuries.
But even if you factor them in, I'm still not sure it's Vientos. They bring up, let's say, Trace Thompson or somebody like that.
Uh-huh.
Or whoever, you know, I don't know the exact roster. Guys like that.
Gilbert eventually.
That can help the ball club in other areas. So it is a bald-faced lie. Mark Vientos will not ever be in the major leagues again with the New York Mets, and that's a good thing.
I don't think Vientos is very good. He's a one-dimensional player at this age. That is exactly the opposite of what you're looking for. But I do disagree here for a couple of reasons. I do think he's going to play at some point again for the Mets this year. Bald-faced truth. There's just too many variables. Like, you know, if you had somebody other than, you know, Brett Beatty playing third, or Brett Beatty was more established, then I might be inclined to say bald-faced lie, but there's no guarantee that Brett Beatty doesn't come out and hit 190 during April. And at that point, if Vientos...
But he can't play third?
I know he can, but we're not even sure Beatty can, although right. He is better than Vientos. He's a more natural fielder, I get that. But Vientos is going to tear it up in AAA, because he always does.
Right.
And he had five bombs in the spring, maybe six, so he's got a little penchant for power. And he also had some power last year late yep. when most people stopped watching. He's got on a little home run there. I do think he's back up. I do think if some of the younger kids, I mentioned Gilbert and some of the other guys, if they
Jet Williams, Gilbert, Acuna,
if they get off to good starts, I could see them packaging him and not getting much back, and just getting rid of him. But I do think he would be back in April or May at some point, because what the Mets have in front of him outside of J.D. Martinez is not fully rooted yet, so he might get one more swing.
The fact that he couldn't even make the team is telling, and it justifies everything that I've been saying for months about them shoving him down our throats. Oh, Vientos this, Vientos that, going to get a look. No need to. He's no good. And now on that piece, because the Mets finally see what I've seen, they know he stinks. All due respect.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.